Today's reading is from Psalm 51, verses 1 to 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we realize so much how much we are submerged in this secular world and constantly challenged to keep up our faith, our commitment to you, and how much this task is hard. But we thank you so much of having your presence in our life and on showing us the right path. But we know that this road is narrow and requires a lot of courage from our part. Please open our hearts and minds and let the Holy Spirit touch our pastor today so that we can get the today's message titled, What is Real Joy? And make it a real food spiritually, so that we can get out of here much strengthened and more committed in our faith and ready to face all the challenges of today's world. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Last night in the news, you probably heard it too, there was an announcement of a family of a well-known politician that this politician about a week ago had committed suicide. Canadian politician, very successful young man, went into a deep depression and he suffered quite a bit. And I was asking the question to myself, what is painful, more painful than just having a toothache or whatever else? I believe absence of joy, the absence of joy and happiness is very painful. And eventually it will destroy a human being. I don't know the details and I don't want to comment on the details of this gentleman, why he committed suicide about a week ago from out west in Canada. But I know that he was, because the family said so, he was suffering quite a bit and he had given up on life. What is real joy? I was looking into my Greek background and education and the books I have to find a definition, a real definition of the word joy. Although in English we have the happiness and pleasure and joy, in Greek language is more precise, often using about three or four different words to describe one situation that is only described in English with one. And joy in Greek is chara. Now, some of you may not even be able to pronounce it. Chara is, in English, when you spell it, you will spell it H-A-R-A, chara, which is not Greek. So chara is happiness, joy. But also the word charis, which comes from chara, means grace. Charis or Harry comes from the word charis, which means grace. So I was wondering, what is the difference between happiness, joy, pleasure? And then I had to sort of look into every situation, every word, and see how do I understand these words. I was reading in the Christianity Today magazine, well, there was an article in the Christianity Today magazine, and I'm quoting now, the Bible talks about joy, but it nowhere talks about a happy Christian. And I thought that was interesting. Happiness depends, continues, on what happens. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy does not. Remember, Jesus Christ had joy, and he prays that they, his disciples, his followers, may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The source of joy is not the same as pleasure or happiness. If you would sort of look into the root of that word, a wicked and evil man may have pleasure, while any ordinary mortal is capable of being happy. Pleasure generally comes from things and always through the senses. Happiness comes from human through fellowship. Happiness comes from humans through fellowship. Joy comes from loving God and neighbor. Pleasure is quick and violent, like a flash of a lightning. Joy is steady and abiding like a fixed star. Pleasure depends on external circumstances such as money, food, travel, etc. Joy is independent of them, for it comes from a good conscience and love of God. In Psalm 51, we have a king's confession. King David humbles himself and prays for forgiveness and cleansing. He wants to get right with God. Listen to his prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What David actually is saying, Lord, I've washed my hands so many times, and yet they seem to be so filthy. I tried to forget my crime. I tried to to cover up. And I tried to do good, but I can't wipe away my sin, the guilt that has been tormenting me for over a year. And David prays now to God, lifts his eyes up to God and says, I cannot cover up my sin. I cannot wash it away. I cannot hide it. It's right in there in my heart, God, in my mind. I can't sleep at night. I have lost my joy. I have lost the joy of my salvation. I have lost the joy of being able to sing. Here we have an inside view of a man getting right with God. I believe we can all identify with David because we also have failed. I don't know about you, but I often will be sitting there alone and nothing else to do but look back in my life and feel miserable about my past as a teenager or later on in life. And although I'm sure that God has forgiven me and God has wiped away my sins and He has given me a new beginning, a new start, I still feel the attacks that come from the devil, because the devil knows how to attack you, to make you feel guilty when even though God has forgiven you your sins and you are clean now, the devil wants you to feel dirty and guilty. And unforgiven. David wants the joy of his salvation restored because he had known and enjoyed the joy of salvation. Restore here indicates that he had possessed it before. Sometimes people will say, well, that's because he was never a born-again believer or he was this. But David knew exactly what was the joy of his salvation because he possessed it. He had it. In Psalm 21, verse 1, David says, O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you gave. And that's a few chapters before his other prayer in Psalm 51. Rabbi Shlomo Kalibach says, and I quote, joy is the strongest vitamin because joy makes you strong in a million ways, physically, mentally, and spiritually. There are all kinds of strength, and the highest level of strength which a person needs to live in the world is joy. This coming from a Jewish rabbi. There is a good reason why a true believer has this joy. The joy of forgiveness. Now, as I said, to be able to feel that, to know and to have that joy that you've been forgiven is the greatest joy there is. The man who cheats on his wife, the wife who cheats on her husband, the boy who cheats on his parents, the girl who does something that is hidden and no one knows, know what a painful thing it is to deal with an unconfessed sin and unforgiven sin. You may put the greatest smile. You may drink. You may do drugs. You may indulge yourself in all kinds of activities and pleasure-giving things, but that guilt will not go away, will not disappear. You need now more drinks, more drugs, more entertainment to cover it up. And you can't, it stays there. And that eats you up like was eating up David. His bones were crushing. His soul was dying. He needed that joy that he enjoyed before that sin. So the first reason why a true believer has joy is the joy of forgiveness. The second is the joy of assurance of salvation and heaven. Last Sunday we spoke of the assurance of eternal life. Why am I happy? Why am I why do I rejoice when even when things are not so good around me? It's because I know that after this day, after this trial, after this temptation that I'm overcoming, after this death that I face in my family, there is a better life, a better world, a better presence of the presence of God gives me the joy of knowing that I'll live in His presence eternally. Well, some people say, well, there's only one life, live it up here and forget about the future. No one knows the future. No one has come back from the future. Well, just because you don't know, you haven't tried, or you haven't experienced death, it doesn't mean that death is not coming. Every one of us will die here unless the Lord comes before that. So to know and to have the assurance of heaven is pleasure-giving thought, but is part of our joy. Third, the joy of the presence of the Lord in our daily life. Now, you tell me how you would feel if you did not believe that God was always present. And how would you feel if you were not sure whether every time you prayed, Jesus was listening to your prayer? How would you feel if you felt so lonely and alone because somebody betrayed you, because your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, your church, your pastor has ignored you, and now you feel so lonely that you don't know what to do, and you say, I wish I could die. And then you say, oh Lord God, please forgive me. You are there. Let me tell you what my pain is. And you start talking to God and you start telling Him your pain and you start discussing it. And before your conversation is over, you already feel His presence. That's what gives you the joy and the pleasure of knowing that you are connected to God. Fourth, the joy of finding the answer to your life. Do you know why you are here? Do we all know why God allowed us to come to this life? The other day, my daughter was joking and said, it's not my fault. You and mommy brought me to this earth. I said, well, that's interesting, but you are here. Well, God has His own plans. As a matter of fact, she put it differently. She said, that's why God sent me here. And I said, well, don't blame God. It was our fault. You know, we may joke about life, we may joke about our existence, but we know that unless God allows things to happen, things don't happen. And to know that there is a purpose for our being here, and to know and to get the answers of that cannot be answered otherwise through the Bible, that we can find the answers in the Bible, because otherwise they couldn't be answered, it's a great joy-giving experience. And finally, the joy of knowing that cares for each one of us. Now, you may have known all the other four points I made, but if you did not believe, and if you did not know that God, your Creator, your Sustainer, cares about you, if you didn't believe that, you wouldn't have the joy, the complete joy that you could have. Now, people say, how do you know God cares? Well, I believe that created me. I believe that God created me and you and everything else. And if God is the manufacturer and if He is the designer, then He cares how His creature or the thing or the person that He created functions well. And if that creation has a mind, and I believe we do have a little bit of God's mind, because He said He breathed into our nostrils, and I believe that literally, to be the creation of God, that Jesus created. The Bible says in John chapter 1, and nothing was created without Him. And because I'm saying He has done the whole package deal, He cares. And He knows how to fine-tune me. And sometimes He lets us suffer and go through pain, because that will fix other things or prepare us for the great blessings in the future. Now the joy is available to you through Jesus, the Bible says. He is the joy giver. David had lost the joy of his salvation. And people say, how can you lose joy? Well, very easily, quickly, if you break God's laws, then the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, and you cannot feel comfortable and good and have the joy. Restore also indicates that he does not have joy now. At that point in his life, David did not have joy. David has a lot of company feeling that way. Many who were once filled with joy and peace, now they are filled with gloom and sadness. And you say, why? Do Christians feel miserable and depressed? Well, according to what I see around me, including myself sometimes, yes, we do feel unhappy and often depressed, because we allow the things of this life, and we allow the devil to sort of push us against the wall completely, and we can't even breathe now because the pressures are so hard on us. Many who were once filled with joy and peace, now they are filled with gloom and sadness. Many are burdened with guilt and have lost their joy they once had. You tell me that you feel happy when you break God's laws, and I'll say you either don't have God's joy or never experienced it before, or you're lying. Because when you have that joy of being forgiven and saved, have you not heard people say, well, now that I confess my sin to my boss or to my wife or to my husband, that huge load, that heaviness has been lifted, and now I feel liberated and free. If he fires me, that's fine. If she divorces me, it's sad, but at least I've confessed my sin. Well, what that means is that when we keep secrets that have not been confessed to God, we'll lose our joy. We'll lose our happiness. We may pretend to have them, but we don't. Many who once were filled with song and gladness, now they are sour and sad. And I'm sad to say that we as Christians often have look so sour and so sad that no one wants to come in. And no one wants to talk to us, because all we do is we complain about life, about neighbors, about children, about wife, about husband, about the pastor, about the church, about the Bible study. We always complain. We always find something to justify our sadness. And the truth of the matter is we've lost our joy. Something has made us lose our joy. And now we gotta find the reason or blame someone else. Many have lost their joy of their salvation. David's affair with Bathsheba has robbed David of his joy. The song is gone. He feels lonely and lost. Many can remember better days. Do you? Or maybe this is the first time you have the joy of God's salvation. David longed to have the joy of his salvation restored. Restore was part of the prayer to get back what he had lost. David prays for his joy to come back again. Sin robs us of our joy. What is the road back to recovery or restoration? It is the road of remembering. First is the road of remembering. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He took the money and all that his father gave him, and he ran away and he started living it up, and he had a good time. He drank a lot, he ate a lot, he found girlfriends and women, and he did all the things he had fantasized. And he had no time to think of his father, and he had no time for back home, and he had no time about things that were good and holy and clean. He now was enjoying this pleasure-giving experience with all kinds of things. It's until that that pleasure-giving scenario came to an abrupt end when his friends left him because he ran out of money, and because he was hungry now, and he found himself feeding the pigs or living with the pigs. Well, that is a very sad story, but that is exactly what Jesus was trying to describe. From glory to the pigs. And then the way to recovery, to restoration, was very clear. First thing, he remembered. He remembered that he had better days. He remembered his mom cooking that good meal, or the servants preparing the meal. He remembered his father's hug. He remembered his mother's hug as his brother's company. He remembered the clean bed and the clean environment. And he said, "What a stupid person I am. I left all that for a moment of pleasure. And that pleasure has led me to the pigs." So the first step to recovery was to remember. Remember that there were better days. Second step was, it is the road of confession. He prayed for forgiveness. We have again David praying to God and saying, "I confess, I messed up my life. I am miserable. I have lost my joy. I'm not happy anymore. I'm the king. I have all the power I need. I can take anything I want. I can have any relationship I want with anyone in my kingdom. But I'm miserable. I can't enjoy anything. I enjoy nothing." And then looking to the other story of the prodigal son, yes, he remembered the better days, but then there was something he had to do. He had to go back to his father and confess his sin and say, "Father, I sinned against you and against God." And third, it is the road of faith, believing that God will forgive and restore. Now, if David did not believe that God will forgive him, if David did not believe that his joy can be restored, if David did not believe that God was a loving and compassionate God, and he was willing to reach down and pick him up and say, "I love you, David. You are a man of my heart. Yeah, I will restore you. I will forgive you. And I will restore that joy that you have lost." The same applies to the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to his father not asking for a restoration necessarily to where he was before, but he wanted to become just a servant in the house. But the father wanted to hear nothing like that. He said, "My son," and hugged him and kissed him. He, the prodigal son, believed that his father will forgive him, or else why would he come back? So the third thing we have to do is to believe that God will forgive us and will wipe away our sins and our guilt. Do you really desire to have the joy, that joy once again? You can have it. In Psalm 32, we read, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Have you been forgiven? Do you have the assurance of forgiveness? Your joy will return as you return to the Lord, confessing your sins. But there is a warning. Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Corinth, he said, "If you think you are standing, listen, be careful, watch out, because you may fall." Again, the prodigal son, I'm sure he never went to his father again and said, "Give me some more money. I changed my mind. I want to go back." If he had done it, Jesus would have mentioned that in his story. And we don't see David committing another adultery and murder because he knew, he had the fear of God now in his heart. And that's exactly what Apostle Paul is writing to Corinthian believers in Greece. He says, don't be so proud. Don't be so self-centered. Don't think I'm absolutely secure now and I'll never fall because I'm strong. I've got the powers. I've got this. Be careful because you may fall. You may be tempted. And I believe we as believers should enjoy the joy of our salvation. We should be happy. We should be assured. We should have the assurance of our salvation. But also the Lord says, be on your guard. The devil is around you, always tempting you. Have you been a Christian for many years and you feel secure, confident, content, but stagnant and dull? Well, that is not joy, that is sleep. In Ephesians 5:14, we read, oh, wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Now, excuse me, Paul was writing to the Ephesian believers, and he's telling them to wake up, because a lot of Christians fall asleep, not because they are tired listening to me, but because they are tired listening to God, because they are tired praying, because they are tired going to church, because they are tired of not doing the things that give pleasure to their flesh, and so they enjoy whatever they're doing and fall asleep. And Paul says, wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. He is not saying, wake up, it's too late for you. He's saying, don't worry. Wake up, turn to God, confess your sin, and stop worrying about your past, because He's going to forgive all your sins, and He's going to restore your joy once again. But be careful now. Actually, inactivity takes away our joy. Being active in God's service adds to your joy, and you become a blessing to others. Do you know that an inactive Christian is almost like a sleeping, or he or she is a sleeping person? Apostle James says, and I'll quote once again that because I always do it, if you know what is right, if you know what is good, if you know what you should be doing and you don't do it, is sin. And if you are committing that sin, then you don't have that full joy, or at least the joy that fills your soul and your heart. Sin always takes away from that joy. And I'm not going into doctrinal things, because now it has become very popular to argue doctrinal things. What this, what that, what writer, what this, what philosopher, what... No, I'm saying what the Bible says. The Bible says that sin will... You'll pay for what you do. Sin will rob you of your joy and the pleasure of knowing that you're following Christ. If you have never experienced the joy of salvation, you can receive it right now through Jesus Christ by inviting Him into your life. Those who have experienced the joy of being saved, the joy of salvation, will know when they lose it, or at least the Holy Spirit will remind them of the loss of that joy. But those who have never experienced it won't know what real joy is. And that is why I'm saying, if you've never experienced that full and wonderful joy, invite God, invite Christ in your life, and He will change your life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You so much for being such a loving and compassionate God. You have promised to give us eternal life. And You always keep Your word. But You also have asked us to follow You. And Lord, following You is the greatest joy giver, because You always comfort our soul. You always help us. You always are there to talk to. And Lord, we thank You for Your presence in our daily life. Please be with us right now while we are remembering your death and resurrection. Prepare our hearts and souls. Forgive our sins and purify us. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.